Honey in your hole.
Jesus Christ, is my mic up for that one? It's just
direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
Honey in your ear hole.
So that's going to be the new way to do
welcome
it.
Welcome back. It's a bonus episode. Bonus.
Give the dog a bonus.
Whoa.
Oh.
How you doing?
That was good.
Hey, how you doing?
Just came out.
John's back.
Oh, hi.
Justine's back.
Yes.
Jake's back.
Yep.
Patrick's back.
Howdy.
I didn't turn your mic on. There you go. Fresh off of a digital movie club. We're back in the studio. We don't take breaks, although we stop to eat pizza.
That's true.
We have a special guest. Why would we be recording two in a row, you say? Why?
Because that's what we've been doing.
Who?
Shh. It's only a model.
What would trigger such an unprecedented event? Patrick, what?
I don't know what.
Special guest.
Oh, wow. Who is it?
All the way from the Tokyo prefecture.
Where's that?
Is that the prefecture? What prefecture is it? Are you in?
Yeah, the Tokyo.
Is that Mr. Sparkle?
From
the land of the rising.
Is that from The Simpsons?
I know. When you say prefecture, I always think Mr. Sparkle.
Yeah. Join me or die. What is it?
I send dirt to the land of wind and ghosts.
It's our friend Chris Graham.
Hi.
Woo. Look at Chris. What a professional. Didn't even talk until he was introduced. He wanted to jump in on Mr. Sparkle.
Yeah, I did. I was itching.
And he's got a radio voice.
Right there.
He does, doesn't he?
He's got a radio voice, yeah.
Chris has been on the show a couple times. Chris, you know, is the director of a movie called Noble Fur, which I still have yet to see. I'm still waiting for my copy.
Oh, my goodness.
From the director.
That is terrible.
I've been told by Martin that it is fantastic, and I need to see it.
I paid him to say that.
And okay. Is it available on streaming anywhere? Because I buy it.
Yeah, you know, you're friends with me on social media. I post about it all the time. Follow the links.
The devil, you say.
Yeah.
By the way, listen, if you're not following Chris, I believe I mentioned it on the show, even though people are trying to get me to say I haven't. Last_light_pictures on Instagram.
That.
John, or not John.
This doesn't sound familiar at all.
Chris is living in Japan at the moment with his beautiful wife, and his Instagram account is amazing. There's a lot of great. If you like
it's
photography,
private, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh well, then you're screwed.
So don't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we can't watch if he doesn't let us follow.
Maybe if Chris is nice and
I'll
likes
you guys. Go
ahead. Yes, we made it in.
We
throw it a follow.
Throw it a follow. Hey, yeah, just say hey. Send Chris a message. Say hey, heard you on the greatest podcast of all time, and then you went and did Superiority Complex.
That'll be our.
That's
friend
the code.
Brand.
It's secret knock.
That's it. You're in our secret club. That's twice. Chris, you look good.
Well, thank you.
You refuse to age, which I admire.
It's all those Japanese milk oils. And, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
So how long have you been living in Japan, sir?
Coming up on a year. So,
coming up on a year?
Yeah.
Your wife works for NHK?
Yep. She's a meteorologist there. So she does the morning weather.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
And you were just telling me before we got started that you were actually walking through a train station. And you got to see as you're walking with your wife.
Mm-hmm. And the airport as well. Like she'll randomly pop up on little screens. Nobody pays any attention to her, though. We just walk on by.
Like, unsung hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. But does it trip you out? Do you feel like you're in Blade Runner or something? Like,
yeah, it's a little strange, yeah.
She's a replicant.
It's been like, she's been on, I think, air for like 7 years now. So it's, you know, it's becoming a little familiar. But then when we're in a huge city in like a subway system, you know, if she happens to pop up on the screen, it's a little... You feel a little vulnerable.
Now, she was on the air in your hometown of Eugene.
Uh-huh.
And then you moved to Japan a year ago.
That's correct.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how do you like it living in Japan?
It's pretty great. Japan is everything that, you know, you've heard about it. It's true. Like, so it's incredibly clean, very safe. It's just a nice place to live. It's really hard to, you know, find anything to complain about. The humidity is rough. The summer's been gnarly. We were warned about that, but... We like moved last September, and I think we got the last week of it. And we're like, this isn't so bad. Come on. And then June hit, and we're like, we're going to die. It's terrible. Like, it's so bad. I walk to the grocery store, and it's like a block away. I come back, and I'm wringing out my clothes. I look like a drowned dog. It's bad.
Puts Florida to shame.
It does. Oh, I've heard. But I haven't actually been to Florida.
What about kaiju? Are you up on the kaiju?
How's the kaiju watch?
Yeah, I'm just going to say.
Really good alert system in every neighborhood. Yeah. You know. A lot of false alarms, though.
Is it worse than Florida?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have alligators. They have their own versions.
I love how quickly a kaiju. How about 60 seconds. How about the kaiju?
Yeah, that's all I want to talk about. Favorite kaiju movie?
Mine?
Yeah, you're a big fan of Pacific Rim.
No. No.
You're not?
No.
That's a dirty word around here.
I'm sorry.
Pacific Rim fans.
How Shin Godzilla, was that huge over there? Is it only huge like here? Because we can't see it.
I don't think you've seen it. I don't think he was there when it was over there.
The latest Godzilla?
Yes. It's the one, it's the odd one. It's not, is it not Toho?
No, it's Toho.
Okay.
Shin Godzilla was the last one that was released in Japan.
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it around over there, awesome. But I'm sure it is. Should I check it out?
It's all. Definitely check it out. It's basically, this time, instead of being a nuclear bomb, Godzilla's a metaphor for the Fukushima disaster and how there's so much bureaucracy that it prevents the government from responding in a timely manner when lives are in danger. It's really, really good.
Love it. I'm definitely going to watch
really,
it.
Really, really good. Yeah, it's called Shin Godzilla. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I go to a movie theater that has like this giant Godzilla kind of looming over the entranceway. It's pretty cool.
Oh, please take a picture.
People
of
come from all over the place, and in my neighborhood, there's a giant. Well, now it's an MMA studio, but it used to be. I don't know what it used to be, but there's a giant Kong like kind of hanging down, and he has
nice.
Like a little girl in his like one of his hands, and he's it's enormous.
So you live in Universal Studios, like the City Walk.
Honestly, it feels exactly like that. Yeah. It kind of feels like Disneyland instead of like lands. You have like neighborhoods, and instead of the monorail, it's the subway system, and it goes in like a circle. So it's pretty easy to find your way around. You just follow this one line that kind of wraps around Tokyo. And but then you walk out and you're like, I'm in Palace Land, I'm in Samurai Land. So it's safe and as clean as Disneyland too.
Wow.
I love it.
And the lines are more efficient.
Yeah, I would imagine. So, what kind of technology are you looking at over there that we don't have here yet? Like, what have you come back home to and said, my God, we're primitives?
Well, mostly, I guess, just the way everything's organized. But technology, I don't know. I mean, they do have the little kind of tourist trap, cutesy little robots. Like if you want to order, everything's like an iPad or something like that. But I don't know. I don't think it's too much different. But it's I would say mostly it's just like the way that they like all like 42 million people in Tokyo metro area and 11 million in LA, and it feels way busier here. Much, much busier and crazy.
Because it's disorganized.
It's disorganized, yeah.
Public transit here is awful.
Yeah, we're just fighting to survive.
Doggy
it's
dog.
Like,
world
it's like
here.
Soylent Green. In LA, it's like Soylent Green.
It's Thunderdome over here.
Yeah.
It's Thunderdome. But,
no, it's a weird sort of a culture of contradictions. So there'll be stuff that's super advanced, and there's other things that are still very traditional. And you don't know exactly why they're not kind of adapting. So everything's still printed on paper. Yet they recycle more intensely than anybody I've ever seen. But they'll print out copious amounts of papers for everything. They're like, okay, here's your forms. And it's like a stack. And you're like, you could have just, digital email. Or like my wife at work, she gets what would be given to her originally on like digital format. Now it's just given to her in like a huge pamphlet. And it's, every day just tossed in the trash. But I don't know. It's kind of bizarre. Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
Well, maybe they don't have the room to. No,
it's just people are comfortable with certain things and they don't change them. Like there'll be a street that's really feels really advanced and really modern, but then there'll be really kind of like traditional things incorporated in there. Like
Some of the photos you've shared, you see a lot of people walking around in like traditional garb and things like that. Is that for certain festivals and times of year?
Good question.
Yeah. Or do you actually see people walking around in like traditional?
So there'll be like family events or a wedding or something like that that you see. But then oftentimes there's I found out that there's certain days that everybody kind of dresses in traditional garb and they have like fireworks those days and stuff. And there's so many festivals and so many just like little holidays and they kind of. They dress up for it. And
yeah,
we're not aware of all of them. I just know that sometimes my wife's like, I have today off. I'm like, what? Why? She's like, it's fitness and wellness day.
There's no weather today.
Okay, there's no weather today. Yeah.
Do you?
That's great. Fitness and wellness.
Fitness and wellness.
Oh,
right?
Everything. Yeah.
Now, do you notice that from just in the environment, in the air, do you notice people are, do they seem more stressed than here? Or like you said, like the city seems busier, like LA seems busier than Tokyo because Tokyo is more organized. Do the people seem there seem more stressed, less stressed? Are they, you know, are they, do they seem happier? What's the mood like most of the time?
I wouldn't definitely not say happier. I would say it's in the stress, you kind of wear it differently. There's a lot of people like sleeping, standing up, or on the train. And I guess I've read and heard that that's sort of a, it's like a, it speaks to your work ethic. You've worked so hard that you've, you know, you can't bear to stay awake on the train. So, and like, you're like, oh, that guy's been, you know, really, yeah, burning the candle on both ends. Good for you. And so there's a lot of that. And I know there's, you know, there's, I mean, those stats are out there. There's just a lot of, I think, unhappy people that were working a ton there, but yeah. It doesn't manifest itself like it does here, where you're, you know, seeing people yell out the window, "I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore."
But he cut more in front of me. It was my spot.
Yeah. No. There's
and no guns, right?
No. Nope.
That's the crazy thing. That's one of those countries where there just is no guns.
Right? Nope. Not at all. And and nobody takes anything personal. So like you,
that's good.
I'll be on a train and I just feel like four elbows in my back and I'm getting shoved in the middle. I'm like, they're doing this on purpose, you know? And I'm like this, and then I turn around and they're oblivious. They're just, you know, trying to get on. And yeah, it really helped you, like, I don't know, reevaluate like what you take personally and what, you're offended by. You just kind of, you just go, everybody's trying to be efficient, trying to get through, and no one's doing anything, you know, being malicious.
They're not out to get you.
And nobody's right. Getting offended.
Except that one guy.
They're not trying to hurt you.
There's always that one guy.
That one guy. I always see him on the train. He's looking at me.
It's the American.
the one elbowing everyone in the back. Yeah,
sitting there going, today's the day, Chris.
You do get dirty looks if you're like, talking on the train or on your phone on the train. In fact, just probably a month and a half ago, a tourist got kicked in front of a train because he was talking too loud on the thing. And that kind of stuff never happens there. There's no like violence or assaults or anything, but I guess he was really, yeah, bugging someone who had
kicked in front of a train,
kicked into a train that was moving.
Wow.
or as like a subway. Yeah.
Jesus.
I think he survived. But wow. It was gnarly. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, don't talk.
So no guns, but you will get kicked in front of a train.
Yeah, right. You know, it's the price you pay.
Yeah. I mean, and we're talking like Tokyo in the heart of everything, 40 million people. Chances are you're going to have one lunatic.
But not like here where every other guy is a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like if you're in a donut shop, they're all carrying, you know? Yeah.
It's like, not like here where you run by a lunatic.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Yeah.
The lunatics are running the asylum. I'll have you know.
That's no joke.
Oh, they're running everything.
No, I'm talking about just on this podcast.
Soylent Green.
I've lost control.
Oh, I thought you meant the country. Yeah.
I've lost control, and I think I like it.
See, that's the thing is you had this illusion of control in the first place. Mm.
Yeah, really I think this is what THX-1138 was all about.
Exactly.
That's a little reference for Chris. Thanks. So, Chris, you're working.
Wasn't going to get anything.
Well, I think the first time you were on, you were working on Noble Fur with your friend Richard. You brought Richard with us.
Yeah.
And Richard's here now, right?
I think we had wrapped Noble Fur.
Yeah.
For some, yeah. And then later on during the festival circuit, I think we came back on.
And it was a highly regarded movie.
People loved it pretty well. Yeah.
And you're getting ready to work on something else.
Yeah. That's so we're working on a our long overdue follow-up to Noble Fur. When I say that, always people are like, a sequel? Like, a sequel? How is that movie going to have a sequel? No, our second feature. We're going to start work. We're writing that. And, I'm really excited to get that going. But for now, that I'm kind of on an island and away from everything, I just wanted to keep busy, keep sharp. And I'm anxious to make a short film over there while I have that kind of Tokyo as a backdrop.
Sure.
That'd be a beautiful place to shoot.
And are you?
And they're surprisingly pretty lax on.
I was going to ask. I mean, I would assume
there's so many people. You'll see like I don't know, just Dutch people or German people over there with all their camera gear, and they're running around all the cool spots and shooting a music video, and no one's bothering them. And I'm like, wow, you're just doing this, huh? In the middle of everything.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, the Beastie Boys did Intergalactic in like the subway there. And I guess they just went with like a crew and they just did it. That's and you just see people walking by the subway just looking at them, but nobody's trying to stop them. Nobody's like, some of them are watching, but
they don't say, where's your permit or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you're really interfering or shutting down anything, they'll ask for a permit. But it's pretty similar to here. Like you can even get, you know, an owner of a store to like let you use their place, and you don't have to go through any like, you know, agency or government thing. You just like, yeah, come on in and film. So it's pretty nice.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And, Are there any other Americans you've befriended over there? Are you just hanging out with your new Japanese friends that you spend all your time with now and don't have time to come see us?
I mean, it's like, not like he's like
no resentment. No resentment at all.
Yeah. It was loaded.
Well, your show finally, you know, bought my plane ticket to come here.
That's it.
Yeah. We've been saving up for 3 years for that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? He hadn't even moved yet.
That was a one-way ticket, too.
You're collecting money from the show?
Yeah. Wait. And what I did is I sent Chris money to buy himself a rubber... A wetsuit so he could sneak onto a plane, hide in the cargo bay, and not freeze to death. So that's why he's here.
Yeah.
That's
it. I made it. Got a little chilly.
So are there many Americans over there?
There are. We live next to a neighborhood that's pretty... there's a lot of expats there and foreigners. But we don't really... I was trying to think of who I hang out with that's from America. Mostly, I just hang out with my wife's coworkers. I met them, but they're mostly Canadians. The ones that like speak English, mm-hmm. and the North Americans. And so, I've been. We go out with the Canadian crew a lot. They're fun.
It's so super
fun to
polite.
Bounce things off of
That's awesome.
Do you know any Japanese?
I know like 7 phrases, just enough to get me back home. Good. I know like sorry, it's okay, thank you very much, like can I have some water, you know, basically that. But my wife is much better at that kind of thing. She's already bilingual, so she picks it up quick, but I just make a fool of myself.
Imananji desu ka?
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Yeah, what time is it? What time is it?
I didn't know what it meant.
If somebody answers me, I have no idea. I just point at my watch.
Yeah.
Kita kurasai.
Yeah, no, I started playing... So I played basketball my whole life, but I was like, hey, it'd be fun to play here. And I don't know, maybe I'll be a forward or something. A little taller. Nope. Still the shortest guy on the court. So, the first day we got there and they're like, okay, let's pick teams based off of height. So tallest to shortest. And I look over, there's one guy to my right. And I'm like, all right.
You're like,
so,
not even here.
Yep.
Not so even here.
Like, Chris, okay. You're a natural guard. You're a natural guard. Yeah, that's where I'd put you.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do in the paint.
We'll just slap around.
Yeah, so. But I met some Americans there in this basketball league I joined.
Oh, nice.
It's fun, yeah.
Well, you know they don't take anything personally, so just a lot of elbows to the face is what you do in the paint.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't the Subway.
Yeah. Elbows to the groin.
Sorry. Yeah, so yeah, sorry. So,
no, we don't do the Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, please don't. For the love of God.
That's a great question. So how do the Japanese feel about Mickey Rooney in Breakfast?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure they don't show that movie.
This is 2018. They're not aware.
That banned from Japan.
They would say, who's Mickey Rooney?
You guys walked across the street to get pizza, but Chris told me he just watched You Only Live Twice recently. And what was your reaction?
I think was obsessed with Bond movies growing up, and I would watch them all the time. But the last time I watched that one, I was probably a freshman in high school. But I was sitting there on my couch in Tokyo. My mouth was wide open, and I was just like shaking my head. This isn't real.
Like, you just get really uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. There's no way. And I was like taking videos of it. I'm like, I was extended to my wife. I'm like, you got to see this. This is insane. I was like, watch it in the bathroom with like the sound low. I was like, this is really offensive.
Was a TV station playing it, or was it
offensive? What?
No. Yeah.
On DVD.
No. It would be cool if I owned that DVD though. No. I have like a Sling TV over there.
Okay.
So I use VPN to watch cable here. So it was on. I don't know. I think it was IFC or something. Yeah.
And they said, coming up next, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
That's it.
Yeah,
and you're like, what the hell?
That's a great... by the IFC racist hour.
It's a great movie. I don't know what you're saying, Chris.
Sure. Still... Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. And how quickly, I mean, I guess Bond's always done this, but like,
she,
you know, his lady dies and he just bounces back so quick. This girl was like, professing her love to him. And
you don't get attached.
Yeah.
This movie, 3 times he bounces back.
Right. More than the most, right?
Yeah.
Like he,
Boom, dead. Oh, well, crap.
A ninja poisons her from the roof, and he's like, oh, under
the
next dead.
One.
Yeah.
He's pretty cold blooded.
Roll her out.
Roll her.
I think Justine's constantly just like, why do you guys like these movies?
I hate James Bond movies so far.
Done with Pusher, now with Keshe.
How about you liked
From Russia with Love?
Yeah.
And Doctor No. I like those.
From Russia with Love is good. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites. And Diamonds Are Forever is got a soft
spot. I hate that one.
You do?
I hate it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do.
We are going to watch Her Majesty's Secret Service coming up next week, so we're going to watch that one. So,
but if you want to show somebody what Vegas looked like in 71, Diamonds Are Forever. That's the travelogue for Vegas.
Three casinos.
And nothing is there anymore. If you watch that movie, nothing is still in Vegas that's in that movie. It's all bulldozed. Yeah.
I think the Frontier's still there. Is the sign's still there.
They put a glass top on top.
The Spy Who Loved Me is probably actually my favorite.
Oh, I love that one.
As cheesy as it is, yeah. I love it.
So many of the great characters, the iconic characters pop up in that
probably
one.
Probably my favorite, Roger Moore.
Yeah, and there's like everything.
Skiing. Spy Who Shagged Me is really good too.
How do you feel about Man with a Golden Gun? Because that's Patrick's favorite.
It's been, I don't know, it's been too long to give a current death.
It's so bad, it's good.
Okay, I'm
into
that.
I admit
that.
It's bad. Totally I admit it's a horrible movie. Like, it's bad.
It's not.
But it's so good.
No.
You get Christopher Lee.
Yes.
You get Britt Eklund. And you get Hervé Villechaize.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an all-star
Peter Sellers' wife making out with Roger Moore.
With Count Dracula and Tattoo.
Yeah.
So good.
It sounds better on paper.
And he's kind of thinking about nipple.
It. He's looking at, what are you looking at, Chris?
He's adding it to the list.
I just, watch. No.
He's like, let me get this straight. He makes a gun out of a cigarette lighter, a pen.
And a cigarette box.
I just,
watch on the car right back.
Yep. Have Justine explain scene to me.
Okay, he's got a third nipple, and now he's running from the dwarf, and now he's...
His name is fun to say, Scaramanga.
Scaramanga.
What sucks is they put him in a fun house. It just seems like so beneath Bond. It's like, oh, it's a fun house.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's
yeah,
the fact
kinda weird.
That the fun house is on an island in the middle of the
I know.
Sea,
why do you need a fun
which
house?
Which makes no sense.
What else are you going to do on the island?
Also, wouldn't a spy kind of like see through that? Oh, yeah, it's a fun house.
Well, no, there's mirrors. You see, you know, yourself.
I know. But it's been done.
He got distracted by
Lady
his
from Shanghai. It's been done.
When you look in the abyss, the abyss looks back at you.
He sees who he is inside.
What's that from?
Nietzsche.
Suddenly the show gets heavy.
I'm out.
Suddenly the show gets very heavy.
Nietzsche.
We bring one guest and we get all serious.
I know. That's unbelievable.
Nietzsche.
I thought it was Nietzsche.
Glad to Nietzsche.
All right. We're right back where we started.
And we're back.
Please,
I brought it back.
To
Nietzsche.
Bring it around.
Bring it around.
I'm buying Chris time to get out. He's got a call.
Oh,
he's gonna...
No, I don't have a call.
Are you sure?
I was looking up. We're talking about
Man movies, with the Golden Gun.
Movie is so bad, they're good. I hadn't seen this before, but They Live, John Carpenter.
Oh,
they
love
live.
It. You've
actually,
never seen
it's
it?
No, pretty good.
I cannot believe I hadn't seen it. But no, it was. I was laughing so hard.
I mean, it's kind of a comedy.
Yeah.
It is, it's not
yeah.
really.
It's on our list. It's on our list.
Wait, that's going to be on the digital movie.
It is wild.
Roddy Rowdy Piper? Rowdy Rowdy Piper?
Yeah. That was so nuts.
And who else is in that? I can only remember Rowdy Roddy Piper. Who's the other lead in that?
The guy from man.
He does all the narration for Ken Burns now.
He was in Something About Mary.
He was in Platoon.
Oh,
Keith David.
Keith David.
Good
thank
job.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I love Keith David. Mm-hmm. That fight scene they have in the alley is awesome because it really does look like they're beating each other
it
up.
It was 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I remember everybody in the audience is going, oh, wow, it's still going on.
And then the same thing's being said over. Put the sunglasses on.
Put the sunglasses on!
Saying that over and over.
That was a crazy movie.
Can you imagine going to the restroom? Roddy Piper, basically the same voice.
You should watch it again. It is wild.
That's smack in the middle of the Reagan years, isn't it?
Yep.
Because I remember watching that and going, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is right on the money.
I'm excited for this.
Obey, consume.
It's insane.
Said I'm excited for this.
What, They Live?
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
John that Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter.
We haven't gotten to a John Carpenter movie yet, but he's coming.
We have not.
His decade is coming. So
the 70s.
We're coming up. We did a little, I asked a couple of questions on the Twitter for Chris.
Oh, what?
I threw some. When I have a special.
When he doesn't know what to ask, he just asks the internet.
No, we got, you know.
Every week.
Well, Chris is the perfect person to do this because he's a movie. He's not only a filmmaker, he loves movies.
Well, I would hope he does. I mean, if he's making films, but
I hate
movies.
I just like to make them.
I just decided.
You know what? There are
people. How hard could it be?
There are people, I think, who do not like movies, who make movies. There are.
Or they don't have time to watch them. Once they're making them, they don't have time to watch them.
Remember in The Great Escape, Charles Brosnan, he's good at making tunnels because he doesn't like being in a tunnel.
Wow, there you go.
No.
But it's like going to a tattoo artist who doesn't have any tattoos.
Yeah.
It's like, what? No.
Well, you can't practice on
can't
yourself.
Can't trust him. He can.
Don't trust him. Don't believe him. there we go. This is from Brent over at the Home Video Hustle at HVH Podcast, capital H, capital V, capital H, capital P, odd, lowercase oddcast.
There you go.
What is the best video game adaptation?
Ooh.
Chris. I know what you're going to say.
There are not many.
These questions are all for you. No.
There aren't many.
For me?
Yeah, they're all for you.
Yeah.
No, they're for everybody.
I mean, we can answer, but it's the answer we
Let's
really
wait
care
till
about.
You answer.
Yeah. Then we can just rip it apart.
Yeah.
I can't say I've ever liked one.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's okay. Pretty good.
I totally own that.
Resident Evil's not the first one's okay. not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I guess so.
Nah. The second, third, and...
Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, so the one I liked growing up was that. Yeah. It was Mario Brothers, and that is like nothing like the game. That is as it should be. It was wild and weird, and yeah, I remember watching that, being like, nice try.
Is that like Bob Hoskins?
Nice try.
Is that really Bob Hoskins and Dennis?
Yeah,
yes. And John Leguizamo.
A for effort.
Yeah, which
and Dennis Hopper's the bad guy.
It's unbelievable. A for effort.
Yeah, and then they even had like creatures in it. You're like, okay. Okay, there they are.
The greatest right. Bowser.
Yeah.
Does I haven't seen it.
The greatest video game you've
never
adaptation?
Seen?
No.
You've never seen it?
No.
Oh, my God.
It's not good.
Put it on the list.
I know it's not good.
That's crazy. Not going on the list.
Put it on the list.
It's like weird, like, dystopian
it's
society.
So
put it on the list.
I don't know.
You would probably like it.
I might.
Don't.
I just might.
Don't do it.
It's a waste. You'll never get those 2 hours back.
This is true.
It's hard. Video game adaptations, there's not been a lot of good ones. Doom was terrible.
Doom was really bad.
They don't pick good games
Rampage
to base a movie on.
Were any of the
Jumanji?
That's true.
That's a board game.
That's a board game.
Were any of the Lara Crofts good?
It's a fake board game at that,
I've never
too.
Seen any of those.
No, the previews weren't good, so I'm assuming the movies are good.
Yes.
Wait. This is a deciding factor. Chris, how do you feel about Hook?
Oh, we've had this debate many times.
Debate, which means that
I love Hook,
but yes,
I'm,
yes,
but I'm
yes!
Not, but I can't really defend it.
He stays.
Yeah,
he stays. He comes.
It's either
back.
You love it or
though,
you don't.
He said he can't defend it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it's a great.
Some things
movie.
Don't age well.
It's a great,
it's
great. Movie.
That's probably. Well, how old were you when you saw it?
Oh, super young.
Well, that's it.
Yeah, I know. We talked about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just need to know where he stood on it.
Bangarang, guys.
Yeah.
Bangarang
all day.
You know, I'll tell you what. I just saw Hardcore Henry for the first time. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not based on a video game, but it was a fun movie. And I thought it would get old after like 15 minutes.
Is it all POV?
It's all POV. I watched the whole thing. It was an interesting enough story, and there was enough creativity in it that it kept me going.
Who's the voice? You are the person.
No,
is there a voice?
There's no voice.
Of course you enjoyed it. It was from your point of view.
Yes.
But it didn't get old. It really worked.
It worked. I thought it worked well.
Okay.
For video, I don't know if I would have liked it. I just ignore that. See how you do that? That's a pro, right?
But you made it through the movie, so that says something, yeah.
How about best live-action adaptation?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Animated turn live-action?
No, we're talking about video games.
I know.
That's a good question.
It's transition.
You're shifting gears. Yeah,
yes.
We covered them all.
Yes. Pump the brakes,
this is a question from our own studio.
God.
Best live-action based on a cartoon.
Yes.
Or a comic or just a cartoon? Oh, you're talking about
I'm talking like anime, cartoon,
like the
whatever.
Disney ones?
Yeah.
I gotta go. That Beauty and the Beast
whatever,
is pretty
man.
Good.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good. It wasn't great.
I didn't like Emma Watson's auto-tune.
Oh, no, that was terrible.
It ruined like the first 20 minutes.
She's not a singer.
Totally.
Yeah, where she's singing like a Cylon in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Little town.
They should have had...
In a corner.
They should have had Marnie Nixon singing.
She's dead. Ugh. So that would have really sounded terrible.
So it'd be sort of like a corpse singing.
What other card? All the G.I. Joes were terrible.
Yeah.
The first Transformer. All the Transformers are bad.
Yeah.
Although, I will watch the first one.
Yeah,
because
the
terrible.
First one's nostalgic.
Never want to see the last
when it first
Airbender
came out, you went and saw it in theaters and probably enjoyed it.
No, I
didn't
see it in theaters.
Well.
I saw it later.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters.
Didn't age well.
Mm-mm. None of them have. He's thinking about it right now.
I am. Racking my brain.
Are you going to go see Bumblebee?
No.
You don't want to see Bumblebee?
Did anyone see Christopher Robin, by the way? As much as love...
I haven't seen it.
As much love as that trailer got, it didn't... It came out and I never heard another thing about it.
It's a hard sell.
Yeah.
For anybody, even if you're...
After the last Winnie the Pooh movie we watched, I couldn't watch another
Goodbye,
one.
Christopher Robin.
Yeah, the real
one. That
one
was depressing.
Did
what
you,
was that?
Did you like it, though?
It was good. It was just depressing.
Goodbye, yeah. Christopher
really
Robin?
Good.
What was
yeah.
that?
It's
was
based
that anime?
No,
Christopher Robin.
It's based off, like,
the sun,
author
sun.
And the sun.
It had a very bleak tone, for sure.
Yeah.
Even the kind of nice ending. I don't know. It was.
Yeah, it was just rough.
Who played the author?
Domhnall.
Yeah.
The General Hux from Star Wars.
Oh, Domhnall Gleeson?
Gleeson, good job.
Yeah, thank you.
Jackie Gleeson? oh, yeah. Oh, you're going, Pooh. Oh, you're going down, Pooh. Oh, yeah. To the moon.
That did not sound right. This is a question from Izzy Fisher Kondrick at Untidy Venus, co-host of the
Venus
Everything I Love from Movies podcast. Untidy Venus. Would you rather be happy or right, Chris? Happy or right?
Oh, right, right all day. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I used to want to be right. Now I just let it go.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But being being right makes you feel happy.
For a little bit.
You get this instant gratification versus
What are we talking about here? Are we talking about like arguing with a loved one and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to take the loss.
Take the L on that one.
And just make everybody happy. Because I'll do that all day. But I mean, like, just myself, you know? Like, if I have to choose between the two. Yeah. The truth.
The truth will set you free.
Exactly. Please,
you can't handle the truth.
Can you please? You just reminded me because of the way you said that. Can you reveal the idea for your movie trailer that you never made? You wanted to make a fake movie trailer.
Oh, a lunar collision.
Yeah. Do you want to give the synopsis of that movie?
I don't know. I don't even remember. I don't know if I remember the whole thing. It's
It was a thing where the can I give away the spoiler?
Yeah, go ahead.
The moon was gonna. You wanted to do the scene where the moon was gonna crash into the. It was a disaster where the moon is off its axis. It's gonna crash into the Earth. And you had envisioned this.
Have a buddy. Yeah, have a guy in the White House come running into or like the Pentagon, and he slams open the door, and they're like, "What's going on? What's going on?" And they're like, "There's something heading for something heading for the Earth," and they're like, "What is it?" And he's like, "It's the moon." He leans in right in the camera. He's like, "It's the moon," and then you see a montage of all these things happening, envisioning lassoing the moon, pulling it away, all this kind of things,
whose phone is that? Oh, is that John?
I was gonna say it. Wait, have you seen the...
Oh, someone calling in to make
I'll call
that
you, I'll call you.
Wait, yeah.
You're already getting calls.
Have you seen the trailer for Thor Ragnarok as a anime?
No.
It's so good.
Awesome. It's YouTube? The best. Yes.
Yeah, you can find
they
it.
They pull a bunch of scenes from Thor, but they play it to anime music. It's the best thing. And because if you've ever seen any anime in the whole intro...
Yes.
They did an exact thing of that. It's perfect.
God, I love the internet.
No. I remember the line. It's way better. He said there's an object the size of the moon heading for the Earth. And they're like, my God, what is it? And he goes, it's the moon.
There it is.
And then you see the scientists, demonstrating, lassoing the moon, pulling it away. And then the president just, cleaning the table. Like, it's an absurd idea. Then you get Arnold up there, or Bruce Willis, and he's like, yeah. So, yeah, then destroy the moon.
Somebody, was it you?
Destroy the moon.
Well, was it you that had, because another friend, I swear to God, somebody else we know had the same idea.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, they had the idea of somebody just firing up at the moon like a Schwarzenegger.
Well, I had one part. Yeah.
This is the moon exploding.
Big waves going around him, and they had M16, he's shooting at the moon. Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
He's unloading a whole clip.
Yes.
Yeah. Mendoza. Yeah.
One of these days.
Justine, happy or right?
Happy.
Jake?
Blissful ignorance.
Happy.
John?
I like it.
I hate to say it, but I think right. Yeah.
What did you feel bad though when they feel defeated? And it would just make me feel so sad.
Why? Well, do it to them all the time. We watch you do it on the show all the time.
Well, wait a minute. You didn't give the context.
Yeah, yeah.
Just happy or right.
It's the context between someone I let my niece you just said Santa Claus. But
You just said, wouldn't you feel bad? I'm like, but yeah, but what's the scenario?
Yeah.
What is the scenario?
Now saying, I feel it's bad. It's always the same scenario.
We're thinking that if you're in, I'm just any argument. Would you rather be
in an argument,
or would you rather everyone be happy?
I thought you meant in life. Okay. Would you rather be happy or right?
No, it's
well,
no.
I guess if you
that's
said
what
you
I'm
were,
thinking, argument.
If you said you were happy, then you're happy because you were right.
Exactly. That's why I was.
I guess it depends on the
stakes.
That's very zen.
Yeah. If you're
happy because you're right.
I'm on the same page with Chris. If you're in an argument with a loved one, of course you'd rather be happy than right. Yeah, but if you're in an argument with a stranger or just an acquaintance, I'd rather be right.
Or if there's some serious stakes on the line,
we don't know the context.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're
happy or right? That was the question.
Your question is invalid.
Right. Definitely right.
Moving on.
I mean, that's like that game where they say pizza or tacos. It's like
you got to be able to
tacos.
You have to be able to strip it down and just focus on that.
Maybe
question.
You're just happy because they admitted they were wrong. Which would make me very happy
and make you right.
So, Patrick, you say you'd rather be right?
Yeah.
Why not both?
Be happy. Stop arguing.
Well, it wouldn't be an argument if you're right.
It's you true.
Giving them factual information.
Hey, the other half of the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast, Steve, over at EILF Movies. Why wouldn't James Bond and Batman get together? Or, I'm sorry, why wouldn't James Bond and Batman get along? Or would they?
No.
What if Martha Bond was involved?
No.
Discuss.
No, I think Batman would be appalled at Bond's treatment of women.
You think so?
I think it would be.
He'd and
be
just like, would think he's a total idiot yeah. and just wouldn't even bother.
He'd be like, but at the same time, he'd be like, this is how you hit a woman.
Yeah, he's punched women in the face.
He's punched Catwoman.
He oh has God, punched
Poison Ivy.
Well, but so is James Bond. He's hit girls.
That's what I'm saying. I but think he's Batman, saying this is how you
Batman
do.
Batman would think that James Bond was a villain.
Like, yeah, probably.
Like one of the bad guys. Definitely. Like, I got to take him down. Yeah. He won't stop it.
You think so? Babe, that's true.
He sounds like one.
No one should have a license to kill. That would be his line.
Except, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But why'd you say Martha? Why'd you say Martha?
Who wins, though?
Why'd you say Moneypenny? Why'd you say Moneypenny? Sorry.
Who would win?
Who would win?
Batman.
And I'm such a Batman fan, I just say Batman wins no matter who you're putting him against.
He's got a suit.
Yeah, but
Bond, Billy, he's...
but Bond always gets out of it.
Yeah, means. But Bond can't... Until well, he meets Batman. I, never mind, I'm not going to say
it's
that.
Over.
What is it? What's your secret? What's your superpower? I'm rich.
But James Bond gets the lady at the end of the movies.
Well,
Batman that's... never gets the lady.
Yeah, he that's... does.
It's not what he's about.
He gets the Catwoman.
Yeah, he definitely gets the Catwoman.
As a fact, in today's issue...
He made her purr.
Yeah.
They both get
in today's issue, he gets the Catwoman.
Yeah. I'm not ready to write James Bond off against Batman. I know you guys
well,
all want
like,
to throw
point
it out
a, he'd point a rocket grenade at him or something, and his cufflink, he'd go, hey, look at
I,
that.
I feel like James Bond's is... stuff would be more clever than Batman.
See, no, I
Batman's
think
like, I have this huge gun.
Quite the opposite.
And
I think that's the
James
exact
Bond
opposite
has
because
this little...
I think James Bond's very spur of the moment, whereas Batman's a planner. He gets as much information as you can. He's trying to find out all your weaknesses.
And the psychological trait, stuff.
Psychological stuff. I think he's going to have more of an opportunity and more of a one-up. And if it's like straight on with, you know, just head-to-head, it's 50-50.
I mean, his
yeah,
arsenal...
but James Bond hands him like a cigarette and boom, he blows up.
Batman doesn't smoke. He knows it causes cancer. He's a detective. He deduced
you know,
that.
Batman's arsenal is at least as impressive as whatever
I would say probably
Q
more
has
impressive.
Got. Yeah.
He has shark repellent.
Yeah, the only thing
shark
that
repellent.
Bond can beat Batman in is like Pai Gow poker or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Like, sit there and he's all...
talking himself out of a situation, Bond all the way. Hand-to-hand combat, Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Bond would kill him, Batman wouldn't.
True.
So that's where Bond has the edge. Mm.
And Batman's got all that armor these days. He's
hey,
got all that armor.
But,
so.
You know, I'm just saying.
Headshot.
Odd job out of hat. Didn't
that's
help
right.
him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't know. It's a strange question. Batman versus...
Patrick says he'd like to think they'd fall in love.
I do agree. I'd like to think they'd fall in love. I think, you know, there might be a special romance there.
All right. This is a good one for you, Chris.
Because Batman would think he could fix him.
That's true.
No, I like that. I like that one, yeah. We should bring back Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah. Let's throw him on there.
Yeah,
just for one episode.
That's what we're going to talk about. This is not over. Bond and Batman will
well, oh, how, you didn't continue. Say what you thought.
I don't know. It's a he's, draw.
Oh, you can't even
he
guess.
He was
you can't even guess. Huh?
He took the quitter's way.
No, I think it would be... I would like
it's
to
hard
say
to imagine who would come out on top.
I yeah. would say Bond...
But it should be old school Batman.
Bond?
Oh, no.
Those old movies.
Adam West Batman.
Adam West Batman versus
okay,
Sean
that's
Connery.
A, that's a whole different...
That's different.
That's a whole different thing.
Bond, 100%.
Then it's about yeah. how
it's
quick
Bond.
Does Bond put him down, you know, yeah.
I thought we were talking like comic book Batman. If it's Adam West...
When she said
different.
Old school, I thought like 39. You know, 39 Batman, where he's got a car and a Batarang, and that's about it.
And shark repellent.
Chris, this is from Besotted Geek, at Besotted Geek.
Stork.
The Stork from the Besotted Geek Pod. At Besotted Geek Pod, I'm sorry. Thoughts on the popular category added to the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
Mm-hmm.
And are more than 5 Best Picture nominations really necessary? Chris, this is a great question. Yeah.
I think the popular vote is it undermines the entire Academy Awards. Like I heard this somewhere, and this is absolutely true. Like the award for the most popular movie already exists, and it's money. That's like they make all the money. It doesn't
Billboard.
Need anything
yeah.
else. Yes, and I just feel like it. Yeah, undermines the entire thing. And it's so vague too. There's so many questions out there. Like what would constitute like what could it go in both categories, Best Picture, and is it just sort of a cop out? You don't want to give. You know, certain movies like, I don't know, Straight Outta Compton or something the Best Picture nomination, which it should have gotten, but instead you give it to you're just like, oh, put them in the popular category. It's like, it's almost setting yourself up to be more controversial.
Yeah, because if Black Panther wins that instead of Best Picture, they'll say that's racist.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
You're saying that the only way it could win is as a most popular and not like a Best Picture?
But I mean,
give a picture like that a chance to win Best Picture.
Exactly.
It's a consolation prize, and it's insulting.
It's very insulting.
And I think it's the worst idea ever. And I do like the... I don't know. I saw some value in extending the Best Picture thing because it is sort of arbitrary that there were five, but I kind of like those like limitations. I don't know. I always give myself like a top 10.
This is exactly why I hate award shows. I hate them.
The only reason. Oh,
yeah. It's just a bunch of, you know.
Totally. And mostly politics.
Yeah, it's stupid.
La La Land won Best Picture.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
The only reason Hollywood's to add that category is the only thing they're worried about is getting more eyeballs on the broadcast. So have to ask themselves, are we a TV show or an awards show for excellence?
Yeah.
And for the last couple decades, they just care about the ratings. That's all they care about. They're obsessed. How come nobody tunes in anymore? Because nobody gives a shit.
Because you're not you're not celebrating the success of, you know, these artists. You're just pandering.
It's just a TV show. So if you're going to do it, turn off the cameras and do an award show without the cameras.
And let us read about it in the thing they call the newspaper.
Because this is just insane, and it's just to get more people to tune in, and it's a losing game because people just don't care anymore.
And there are already numerous award shows that I will watch every year that are geared towards the more popular movies.
And what is it? The American... what is it? There is one, the most popular... They already have one. What is it called?
Well, the Golden Globes.
No, the America's Choice...
People's Choice Awards.
People's Choice Awards. So that
Critics' Choice Awards. People's Choice Awards.
That exists.
The MTV Movie Awards.
MTV.
All sorts of things.
The first couple Academy Awards, it was just a bunch of people in a room. It's like, here's your award. Great. As soon as you start televising it, it becomes a problem. We got to add like musical numbers, and we got to have big guests, and then they obsess over who's going to host it. Well, if we put this guy in, maybe people won't tune in, or maybe the kids will dig him, but not the old. Just do one or the other. Do a TV show about movies, or do an award show about movies. Uh-huh. You're never going to make it pan out again as both. You're past that. People don't care.
I don't give a shit what people wore either. I really don't.
I mean, there are people that just watch
Well, the Academy Awards is supposed
Target.
To be people in the field voting for each other, and recognizing themselves for the excellence in that field. But now it's become so politicized. Trying to cater to the masses that it just doesn't. I think people are reluctant to give it to a film that they really want because there's always. It's like, I mean, it's an old cliche with the Oscars. Like you get your Oscar not for the one you deserve, but when the time is right, like three down the line, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, think of all the people that didn't get it for the one, like Pacino.
Yeah.
Gets it for Scent of a Woman, not Dog Day Afternoon, not The Godfather,
Denzel
not
Washington
Serpico.
Misses it on a bunch of awesome ones, and then he gets it for, I mean, a decent movie, I guess, a decent performance.
But, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
Paul Newman.
Well, I think that was him leaving it all out there. I think he deserves it for that for sure, but he definitely deserved it before that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's a waste of time.
And then the thing about making it is there's just some way we can trim it down so it's not so long. But this is about excellence. If you've got X amount of films, don't worry about how long it is. If people care, they'll tune in.
Yeah.
And now they've got it to the point where if you have a lifetime achievement Oscar, they don't even televise it today. They do it with like the technical awards. Well, last week we had so-and-so give the lifetime achievement to so. It's like, you don't even show that on the show anymore?
I actually really like that part. Yeah. It's a bummer.
That's the one you tune in for. It's like the, like somebody like Peter O'Toole finally gets it for a body of work. He's like 80 years old, and now they're like, people don't. We could have a commercial in there,
Say we boycott award shows.
Yeah, the issue is that the biggest problem is that everybody thinks you have to grow every single year, and like I don't understand that logic. Like you've already you're the second, third most watched. Televised
not enough.
Program or whatever, you just have to keep growing and growing. No, it's like, just be satisfied. It's an industry award ceremony. Just keep doing it. People will come and go.
You're barking up the wrong tree if you're trying to find ways for people to tune in. Just make it about what's good.
Yeah. And you also earn respect that way.
Yeah, that's the thing. With this new award, the respect for the Oscars is going to go right down the toilet. If there's any left.
The entire thing.
Yeah. People are just going to go, what does it matter anymore,
If they get to the point where they're, like, cutting out the, cinematography, award, that would just
That's the next step. If you're going to cut out the Lifetime Achievement Oscar, the next step is, okay, the cinematography we did last week, we did this down the street.
Yeah, they're going to do that for the score and best,
So
we'll
then
keep
what?
The song because that's,
So if it's just tune in for an hour and a half to see best picture, best actor, best song, what's the point?
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Just don't watch.
Brent from the Home Video Hustle again. What's your best? What's the best decade or era of movies in your opinion, Chris? That's a good one.
That's a tough one.
That's a really good one. I don't know. I probably have to say the '70s, but it's tough.
That's what we said earlier.
The '70s are pretty good. It's a fertile time. Things are changing. You have, like, honestly, I'm serious.
It's the last, they say it's the last golden age because it's the last time you could make some really quirky big movies.
And you know, those films, okay, so if you look at, like, all the, you know, AFI's top 100, if you look at the ones from the 70s, they age really well. In fact, some of them are more, edgy and intense and raw than you know current films are. You're like,
that's why there's so few from like the 90s, and it's not too many that land with that sort of like resonance, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, but I would say for like I would probably like, you know, classify that like my favorite fun era of movies is like the 80s. Like so many awesome kid like children's films or like hilarious action films, awesome action films I still love that came out in the 80s. You know, you have just like everything, Die Hard to the Goonies, you know.
Yeah.
Just like all those things that I couldn't live without. Yeah, and so much great Spielberg also in the 80s.
Yes, but I would say just as far as like serious filmmaking, it's hard to top the 70s. The 60s are close, but the 70s you have, The Godfather.
I had a great time in the 60s.
With Spielberg, the Rise of Spielberg.
It's almost impossible not to pick the 70s, except I love the 30s, so it's tough.
30s at the 30s, I was thinking about this. Look at where the 30s start with, say, Frankenstein, right? Like you've just converted to sound. Everything's kind of creaky and hokey. I mean, Frankenstein is awesome as it is. You still have people talking into plants,
right?
Because there's a mic there. Fast forward to
39.
It's Wizard of Oz,
yeah,
and Gunga Din, and all these great.
They've written
dynamic
books just on 39.
Yeah,
there's a number of books just tackling 39. They go, Jesus, every studio is firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. You've got like maybe 50 amazing films for 39.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's another one.
I mean, yeah, the. I don't know. It's easy to be nostalgic to the, you know, the era that you kind of grew up in, or that. But 70s are hard to argue with. And I would say about the 60s is your, you know, movie to movie. There's a greater concentration, I think, of really excellent films in the 70s than there are in the 60s. There's there's still some 60s films that are working on kind of the old kind of method, and they're a little bit formulaic and stuff.
And we've seen that.
But there's some amazing ones.
We've seen that studying the 60s. Yeah, we've seen that studying the 60s. Think about like what we've seen early in the 60s of like Breakfast at Tiffany's and To Kill a Mockingbird, and then compare that to stuff we just watched, like compare that to The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. And it's within like a 5-year swing.
Yeah.
It's a completely different.
I mean, everything after Bonnie and Clyde, it just gets super intense and super amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like after 67, it just tips quickly, you know? Like,
the scripts were so good in the 70s.
And they're taking chances. From like 67 to 69, they're really taking chances, you know?
I would say the 70s for me. I was a little kid when a lot of that came out, but having grown up and seeing that, it's just the generation just before me.
Yeah.
And just seeing how much things change and how many movies I have in my collection from the 70s that I truly love.
Yeah, and what solidifies that is like going back and watching them now, you know, through like the filter of like a 30-something-year-old. Yeah. Like you're just like, these hold up so well.
I just went to see the original Star Wars, the Hollywood Bowl with the LA Philharmonic. And I watch the movie and I go, this really holds up just as a great piece of entertainment. Like, you know what I mean? It's a little creaky compared to like now, but if you like, it's like this movie's still great.
I watch it every year. It's great. Yeah.
It's still, and the original's still great.
Like not even thinking of the mythology, everything that followed. It's just a solid
movie.
It's a
fun movie.
Solid. Like if that's the only one he made, it's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd still be talking about
it. Yeah, you're right.
It was the only decade George Lucas made good movies. Like directed them. THX and then.
And I love American Graffiti.
Yeah, American Graffiti.
I watch that repeatedly. Totally. I never get tired of it.
Hey, where do you go to Turlock?
Bob Falfa.
Bob Falfa.
Harrison Ford is Bob Falfa.
What do you guys say? Are you guys partial to the 80s, 90s, 70s? What do you guys think?
Me? I like the 60s right now just because we're in it. I mean, I love all the movies coming out of it.
And it's but Chris, like what you said is true. Like they were stuck in the old method, but I think that also gave it different. You had a lot of different flavors going on. Where in the 70s, everything seems to be gritty. Yeah.
not everything.
Not everything, but for the most part, there was like, hey, it's like a neo-realism thing going on in the 70s. Whereas in the 60s, you still have some movies that are like, polish it a little bit more. Like, yeah. You have stuff like The Great Race coming out in the 60s still.
I know what you're saying. Like, everything after French Connection, you're now like, New York is hell. And we're going to give you 2 hours to see exactly how hellish.
And you get the distinct impression that everybody needs, like, therapy after they shoot the movie. Like, they're like, oh, my gosh.
I know. It's a heavy
what
decade.
What they did to these actresses or actors. Yeah.
In the 60s, it's a little bit more. You have some stuff that's like...
I mean, so far right now, it just feels like the 60s is the birth to a lot of other movies that came out afterwards.
I think they're coming out of feeling a little bit stilted and just everything was becoming so routine. And then they people started, kind of emerging from that. And you got some really awesome ones from that.
Like, is Easy Rider? Are we going to see Easy Rider?
Well, that's another one that's a possibility.
Because there's people that say that nothing's the same after Easy Rider. That gives birth to the next 30 years of movies.
Chris, movie from the 60s, we had to pick one for us to watch. What would you pick?
Oh, man, that's a huge question.
Come back to it. So what decades have you enjoyed so far?
I agree with Justine. I mean, I've enjoyed later movies, obviously, as well, but... For the most part, a lot of the movies I've been enjoying are things I haven't been exposed to, and so I'm really enjoying them right now.
And the 60s was a good time for world cinema, because you had stuff coming out in, Kurosawa was really making, some great movies in the 60s.
Fellini.
Yeah, Fellini in Italy, you have things like that. And, like, we're looking at the spaghetti westerns, things like that. So there's things going on all over the world in the 60s. So.
And for the first time, a lot of people are getting to see it, I think. Yeah. There are more theaters running foreign movies starting in the 60s.
Jake?
Yeah. I do really like the 60s, like the late 50s, early 60s. You see a lot of flexibility with, with budget, with film, whether they do it in... If they have a huge budget, like when we watched Longest Day, it was all black and white because they had a huge budget and they had to make budget cuts there.
Yeah.
So I thought that stuff was really cool and a lot of great films there, but I'm kind of partial to the 80s. My mom was a big 80s fan. So yeah.
There's some great stuff coming out in the 80s. I mean, remember, you kick it off with Empire Strikes Back, and if you're one that counts a decade, let's say a decade is 10 years, so 90 would be considered part of the 80s. If we stretch it, you're ending with, like, Goodfellas.
A lot of good
So you have everything in between. Yeah. And, John Carpenter's, there's great horror movies that are coming out. There's all kinds of...
And then Always with Spielberg.
A lot of good Spielberg.
They can't all be great.
Great bookend. Actually, I got a soft spot for that movie, too. Once Upon a Time in the West. That's my favorite 60s movie. It's just one of my favorite movies ever.
So we're going to hit it. It's coming up. Yes. It's coming up.
Next week.
Yeah. All right, here's a great question, because I already know the answer to this. Who's your favorite director? Favorite director?
Well, Spielberg's my favorite of all time, and then with his body of work, he's obviously made up a lot of clunkers and not so many great ones recently, but he has the ones that are most endearing to me, the ones I care about.
I'll tell you what, Ready Player One was so awesome.
Yeah, he did great.
It was just like.
That was a very solid movie.
Yeah, it was great. And, the source material was fun, but it wasn't anything that should have been... It was a better movie than I thought it was going to be because of Spielberg.
If I'm a bit, shaking my cane at it, I would say, I was kind of bummed that the avatars looked so cartoony, I wish it was, it would have been almost they tried to match the aesthetic of the actual real world. It would have been kind of cool. I think... If this is a futuristic movie, you're living in a utopia, you'd make it more like VR, and less so like an animated world. Mm-hmm. But it did give it the ability to jump in all these iconic characters, like animated characters and,
Did you poop yourself when they recreated The Shining?
That's exactly what I did. In the theater in Tokyo.
I was like, it was funny because I was telling everybody that is the most visceral reaction I've seen from people in a long time. Like, everybody in the theater was like,
"Oh, no, don't go in there."
Is The Shining on our list?
No.
Can you make it be on our list?
No, because
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay.
Have you been spoiled by it? Has anyone spoiled it?
I will not watch that movie ever.
I don't really know what it's about.
Because
not watching.
Oh, you won't tell us why?
I mean, there's so many random little.
It makes me uncomfortable.
Scary
It's just a scary hotel. Right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
That's exactly.
And not in a good.
The guy in the bear suit.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just like going to a haunted mansion.
Keep your eyes. I think
it's like the same thing.
Yeah. Sometimes I think they run it as a Fathom event, so keep your eyes open.
No, we can add it to the list, but we're not there yet. But that movie is one that to this day still disturbs me.
Well, then it did its job. It's a horror movie. It did its job.
The guy in the bear suit.
I still, when I still watch Ready Player One, I'm still confused on why we're. I still don't get it.
What's so good about Shining is there's so many things that stick with you beyond the jump scares and beyond the obvious scary that just mess you up.
Yeah, and you think about it for a long time.
The bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
What's
every
that?
God.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Ray Bradbury that said that the scariest things are like, it doesn't have to be super scary. It's just things that are slightly off.
Yeah.
And exactly. The Shining is full of things that are just slightly off.
It's a master of like tone.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
right. The wallpaper, the carpet, so the sound. You know, yeah. It's kind of like a Lynch. The soundscape is kind of like a Lynch movie. We're like, Jesus, it just sounds scary.
Yeah. You know? Quiet Place was like that too.
Yes. Did you like space. That? Did you see that movie yet?
I did.
Did yeah. you like it?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a mm-hmm. solid little
John
film.
Krasinski?
Yeah, I just saw it. I liked it.
I thought, yeah. So what? The movie I'm writing right now had like apparently like three or four people told me they were like, oh, you're gonna either like it or you're gonna be bummed out because there's so many similarities to the thing you were telling me that I was telling them, and I was like, oh man. So I was a little nervous going in, but it's different enough. But I think it was like a solid like I don't know. It was an example of really like. Efficient filmmaking. Mm-hmm. It was just quick. Not too many highs, not too many lows, but just like really kind of like efficient. And I don't know. That's not much of a compliment, but I didn't. I didn't love it, but I was.
Hey,
like,
that's
this was
nowadays
fun.
Efficient movie. That's a huge.
We just talked about.
Wasn't that his
rare.
First movie?
That was his first movie. Yeah,
and I could tell you they were playing like close to the vest, and that's mm-hmm. exactly what I would have done if I was like transitioning into being a filmmaker after being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And performances were good. Concept was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creatures were horrifying.
The Boogans. Yeah.
Justine, who's your favorite director of all time?
Yeah.
Hayao Miyazaki. I don't know.
Hey, that's a
great director.
That's a, that's
I mean,
a legit,
it's like the stories.
That's a legit answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no one can ever.
No one will take that away from you.
No, that's not the right
Patrick?
That interest. I'm falling in love with Sergio Leone.
Oh.
Nice.
That's a good
what
one.
What else has he done besides these?
I don't care.
Once Upon a Time in the West and Once Upon a Time in America.
You know what? He doesn't. Hey, when you look at his filmography, there's not a lot of movies, but
okay
they're big.
That.
But they're all big ones.
I'm falling in love with them.
Yeah.
I mean, Once Upon a Time in America is another one that's
that will be on our list.
That's
going to America.
Once upon a time in America.
Oh yes,
coming to America.
It's all about Fievel and the other mice that are
Fievel goes
gonna shoot their brains out.
Damn, that got dark.
It's oh fine. My god,
give me the old lazy.
Henry Fonda kills a whole family of mice.
That's right. You shouldn't have said my name.
You three brought mice. Too many. What do you got, Jake? Who's your favorite director all
M.
time?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Really?
No.
It's gonna say one and done, huh?
what a twist there, Jake.
I don't know if you can tell, but
attaboy.
It might have to be Steven Spielberg.
Yes,
maybe.
There's nothing wrong with Spielberg. Mm-hmm. John, what do you say? I know you got a ton
it's
of them.
It's tough. It's tough. I got like a 5-way tie. I'll just say Billy Wilder. You can't go wrong with Billy Wilder.
Nice.
Whether it's a comedy, a drama, or whatever it is, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, I could do 10 in a row, but I mean, it's got to be Billy Wilder. Yeah.
I would say just because of, visually, Kurosawa is always one of my favorites just because, and plus he influences everybody else.
Right.
He influences Leone, who influences
everybody.
Tarantino.
I know, isn't that nuts?
And just for, you watch Seven Samurai and you see it's a black and white movie shot in. It's not widescreen, and it's got some of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen in my life. Just,
so that
paintings.
Goes to show you.
Spielberg's up there.
Tarantino,
mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard.
It's hard not to pick Kubrick. It's like 12 films out of his entire life, but what a 12.
John Ford is another one. Leone is another one.
Howard Hawks.
I'm going to say Jackie Chan.
Right on.
I'm just kidding.
I respect that.
Hey. He does good movies.
I would have to say because I revisit his movies so often, Akira Kurosawa. Honestly. Because I'll even watch the like stuff like The Throne of Blood and The Hidden Fortress. I'll revisit those a lot just because I like.
Yeah.
They put me in that world. It's like his movies kind of take me to that place. Like I'm in feudal Japan, or if it's something like High and Low or something, I'm in Toshirô Mifune's brain because he's, you know what I mean? Like And that's another thing where he kind of had an actor. He had Toshirô Mifune, and they worked together. It's like, but then Scorsese.
I know. How do you not pick Scorsese? I know. I don't know. It's impossible.
All right, here's a good one for you, Chris. This is from Simon, at Simon J. Dickey. The Tak Fujimoto camera work, he likes Tak Fujimoto's camera work a lot. Are there any cinematographers you particularly admire?
Oh, absolutely.
Think about your cinematographers, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Google them.
I mean,
I got nothing.
my favorite right now. I'm trying to draw a blank right now. It's
Roger Deakins.
Yes, Roger Deakins.
Thank is you. It?
I was thinking of Conrad Murray. Yeah, yeah. Roger Deakins is my absolute favorite right now. But he's
done everything. He's done a lot of work with the Coen brothers and done a lot of work.
And the way, he sets a tone for these films that from directors I really love. It's just amazing. Yeah, Coen brothers, and also he's doing all the villain Denu or whatever his name is. That guy.
Rebel.
And Blade Runner, obviously.
But yeah.
Every movie he shoots for him, he even shot the Prisoners, and that is just a beautiful movie to look at. Even though it's kind of like a, a little kidnapping drama, they could just phone in the cinematography, but every frame in that is just gorgeous.
He is an amazing cinematographer.
It's like a painting. Every shot looks like a painting.
Yeah, exactly.
did he do a Road to Perdition?
He went posthumously. That was my my favorite cinematographer before he passed away. He was the best.
Who was that?
That was draw a blank on that.
Haskell Wexler, one of those guys?
No.
Conrad Hall?
I think it is Conrad Hall. That's why I was getting him mixed up.
Is it Conrad Hall?
Hold on.
So movies we've seen Deakins cinematography in.
Mm-hmm.
You got Fargo, Blade Runner 2049.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's great. It's on our list.
Conrad Hall.
Skyfall. Is it Conrad Hall? Mm-hmm. Conrad Hall goes all the way back.
That's why I always get him mixed up with Roger Deakins, because their palette looks very similar.
They look like paintings, yeah.
Skyfall has beautiful cinematography. Mm-hmm. Love that one.
Brother, Where Art Thou is one of my favorite.
That's got good cinematography. Yeah.
That's Roger Deakins, too.
They use them a lot, don't they, the Coen brothers?
Yeah, they use them all the time. Yeah.
You know what's crazy is he was used in an animated film. I think it was at one of those How to Train Your Dragon movies. They used him in an, I don't know how they did it, for an animated movie. They had him do
Rango
composition and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
that was a beautiful movie too.
Rango
had really lovely shots.
Yeah. Rango was epic.
They did. Yeah. They filmed all the characters acting out the entire scenes, and they even had him use cinematography, and then the animators used that as reference to recreate it.
I didn't know that.
Animated, super cool.
And wow. It really should watch a video on it as well.
I saw that movie, but I didn't realize that's how they did it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what movie he was a cinematographer on? A little movie called Return to Waterloo.
Oh wow!
Jesus. Yeah, Ray Davies. God. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Conrad Hall shot Cool Hand Luke, and he did American Beauty. Marathon Man, just beautiful looking movies. Oh, Searching for Bobby Fischer. I remember watching that when I was younger and just being like, I don't know what it is about this. It's just a gorgeous movie to look at. And then, they have one of the best cinematographers of all time doing it.
I have a question about cinematography. We'll wait for it. But if this led me to another question. Guys, do you have a favorite cinematographer or a movie? If you can't think of one, what's a movie where you really noticed the photography? I love this. I don't know his name because he's Italian. I'll look him up. But Sergio Leone always uses the same cinematographer.
Yeah,
and all those movies are just...
A lot of Tarantino movies,
he had the same person every
Kill
time.
Kill
Bill. Yeah.
No, wasn't it the same person every time now?
What's the fun? I mean,
The Western.
Hateful Eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one was really good, where it's just shot in one room, and just the way they did it was beautiful.
The coverage
and
even, that's amazing.
Yeah, even the outside, you see the outside shots, the way it's done just looks beautiful.
Yeah, and they shot that on 70mm or whatever, and inside of a small, kind of a studio room, it almost seems like it would, it'd almost be like a waste, because they don't have huge landscapes.
Because they ran it the first week, it was in 70mm projection only.
Yeah,
Robert Richardson is the guy that Tarantino used for Kill Bill Inglorious Bastards.
Mm.
Yeah, Django.
That's a great one. Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
Yeah,
him. I take that
him
guy.
Me, yes.
And Wes Anderson.
I was going to say, Wes Anderson films, those are shot beautifully too.
And I think he's almost always used the same cinematographer. I think maybe for one other film, he's used somebody else, but.
I can't think of his name.
Always.
Life Aquatic, those are beautiful.
Robert David Yeoman. That's he does. His stuff is beautiful too. Again, a lot like a painting.
How about James Wong Howe?
Yes.
Sweet Smell of Success.
Yeah.
If that was the only movie he ever did, you'd have to say James Wong Howe.
Well, I would say Greg Tolan would be mine.
Oh, yeah.
Did all the John Ford stuff.
And Citizen Kane. And he shares credit.
I just rewatched Grapes of Wrath recently.
Mm.
And some of that cinematography is just...
I think that's the thing. Wells saw all that John Ford stuff and said, that's the guy I want. Oh,
John Ford's another director?
Mm. I know. How do you not pick John Ford? Or Lubitsch, or Preston
what do you
Sturges.
Got? What do you got, Jake?
Hmm?
Who's your favorite cinematographer?
What you said.
All right. Oh, the guy from Richardson?
Yeah, okay. That one.
All right.
I'm really bad with my cinematographer.
I do have a question.
I
do have a question. Mm-hmm. Now, what is a movie, and I know the exact scene in my head, what is the first movie you ever had, or first scene in a movie where you noticed, you didn't know it was cinematography, but there was something about the way it was shot that like made you think about it. Do you guys have that in your head?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Life Aquatic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What scene?
The whole movie.
Oh, the whole movie? Yeah.
But especially the ship scenes where like it pans out and you see it's a cutout. So like it's cut so they can go from room to room. There, it's just a fascinating way.
There's a scene in that movie that he's probably my top five favorite directors. But there's a scene in that movie, the way they covered it and they shot it, was, I think about it all the time. And Angelica Houston sitting in the foreground at a desk, and Bill Murray's ranting. He's going back and forth, up and down the hall, and so he's going really far away from the camera, and then coming back, and it's kind of tight quarters. And she says, "Did Ned's heart stop beating before you pulled him out of the water?" And like he like walks away, and then he comes. Like you see him coming like down the hall back towards her. He peeks in the room and he says, and he repeats it. And she's like, yeah. And it's just like sort of this funny, like little subtle, like one off. Mm-hmm. And the way they covered that was so awesome. Cause they could have had like a two shot of them talking to each other. And it just would have been kind of
just
generic.
Like a long continuous
but he's,
shot.
Yeah. He's like moving around and it added comedy to it. It's yeah. That guy has great composition and great, coverage. It's awesome.
So that's one you would think of.
Well, the one that initially came to mind
was
from,
that was yours.
Yeah. That was his, was, from, Temple of Doom, where the bridge scene where he runs at the camera and you the bad guys are standing on the side and and like he kind of just gets right up to the lens and then he turns around and like the color of that, the palette of everything is amazing. I love that.
What do you got, John? Do you ever movie?
You know, like that. I think like that shot in Jaws where Roy Scheider's sitting on the beach.
That's the one that for me too.
And the camera, it does the vertigo thing. Years later. I saw Vertigo and I went, oh, they're doing the vertigo thing. Yeah. But you're going, Jesus, that really puts you in the movie.
Yes.
And how did he do that? And then you see Hitchcock describing how he did it for Vertigo.
And then
I'm moving this as I'm zooming out.
And then
I'm,
Quentin Tarantino does it later in the diner scene in Goodfellas when
Scorsese Tarantino.
I'm sorry. Scorsese does it in the diner scene when it's when Ray Liotta realizes that Robert De Niro is going to kill him.
Yes.
And they do. He's focusing but it's pulling back and so it's like this disorienting kind of like that the scene in Jaws, I didn't know what was going on.
And you just go, what was that?
But it always stuck with me.
Yeah, like, because it really, that's a standout. And it puts you right in his lap. You're going, oh my God, there's a shark out there.
Yep, and it just ate a little kid.
Yeah.
We're not afraid to kill little kids in PG movies in the 70s.
And then the mom slaps him.
Yeah.
I love the shot on the boat where he's like throwing the chum and then he turns around and he doesn't see it. Just the way that they framed his face and it's so, the lens that they used on it's so good.
Yeah, because you just see it pop up in the back.
And he's got the cigarette hanging out, he whips around.
My brother and I to this day will always go, like, if my mom asks one of us to do something and not the other, my brother and I will always go, slow ahead. Yeah. I can go slow ahead. Come down here and chum some of this shit. Love
it. Hooper!
Jake, what do you got?
The first thing that sticks out at me was Jurassic Park. Is this? I think it was especially the scene in like the kitchen with the raptors.
Oh yeah,
love that whole scene. I'm like, oh, this is like really cool. How did they do that? That
again,
was
Spielberg.
I saw it when I was like, I don't know, it's like 8 years old. Absolutely terrified me. I was afraid for. I was like, I'd have nightmares for like a week. And then after that, I just kept watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta get over it. Immersion therapy. Yeah. I need to watch it again. I need to do that with The Shining. Just watch
really
it over
should.
And over until I'm nuts.
Yeah, that scene shot so great.
Until I'm nuts. Justine, what do you got?
Mine kind of starts with cartoons, though, just because I didn't
That's
understand
fine.
How it works.
That works.
So, like, when you're watching Snow White and you see the camera just moving.
Oh, those
like,
matte shots.
Well, I just kept thinking, like, they just had to keep drawing that same scenery, but it looks the same, like, going across when they're moving it.
Yes.
That, magic. I didn't realize, like, I mean, and then when I was little, I was like, oh, you can kind of tell, like, what they actually animated and what stays the same. I don't know. That was kind of cool to me.
And that's that multi, that's that multi-plane camera. So
yeah, when they zoom in and they go into a castle or something, it's just.
And they're shooting, like, five layers through glass.
As a kid, coloring in a coloring book. I'm like, what just happened?
That blew your mind.
How could I make that happen in the coloring book?
That and then Birdman was kind of cool how they just kept following the person around.
You just
had to have that timing, right talking.
Yeah.
Is it one continual shot or do they cut it once?
Well, they cheat, but it's supposed to be one.
They cut it, I think a grand total in the teens, but
that's like for that's any for any movie.
When
that's
they're walking
insane.
Around, yeah, when they're backstage and they're just walking, that I was like, whoa, that was pretty cool. Yeah. Just,
that could have been silly, but that was great.
I just couldn't think
did
of
did you
how,
like that?
Oh, yeah, I really did. Yeah.
Like, how did they move around? I'm just so I don't understand it, but it's cool.
Yeah, energy well, in that movie is really good too.
Witchcraft.
What's Keaton in Birdman.
Oh yeah,
Keaton
yeah.
is just amazing.
That would be like a great. Summing up of his career.
Oh,
here's what this guy can do.
That's Emmanuel. The guy's name is Emmanuel Lubezki. He also did Children of Men, which is an amazing.
That's right. He did a crazy long shot in that.
The Gravity. And Gravity. Yeah. The Revenant.
Wow.
Created all new sorts of like rigs for Gravity and. Yeah.
God, I never even heard of that guy. What's his name?
Emmanuel Lubezki.
They went to film school together, and he was Alfonso, the director, and then I believe that he was the one directing, and Alfonso was the one shooting, and then he like flipped. I think that's the story.
Crazy. By the way, he was also director on Burn After Reading.
Yeah.
He was director of photography on that, which she
just
hates.
Just to show you.
I love that movie. I love how at the end of that movie, you can either hate that film or love it, and that makes me love that movie.
Oh, that's full circle. Reality Bites. He was also the director of photography on that. So there you
it's
go.
It's just Dr. Zaius.
It's just Dr. Zaius.
What I just tip over, it's just Dr. Zaius.
He did a series of unfortunate events. Children of Men.
I love the way that movie looks. The show looks great too. Series of events. Yeah,
that's a great. If you haven't seen that,
good old Jim Carrey
looks so good.
All right, here we go, guys. Last question from Patrick. Top four films of all time. Top four. You
Why
like to
four?
Limit yourself.
It's a running joke.
Top Why four films.
Man, who's this question from?
It's for me.
Oh, it's from Patrick.
Yeah.
Top I thought you said it's for Patrick.
I'm gonna from say, Patrick to Patrick. I'm going to say The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly trilogy, or the No Man with No Name trilogy, and They Live.
Is your four favorite of all time? Or okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, there's like nine movies.
I was going to say, Seven Samurai is not on your list. I'd be very shocked.
Seven Samurai is up there. It's top five, definitely.
But is it
we're
top
only
four?
Doing four.
That's Jesus. So difficult. You'd have to tell me ahead of time.
It's rough.
That's really
well, I didn't
hard.
Think we'd see Chris again, so I'm like, that's a good question.
Well, that's a great question, but it's impossible.
No, not for Chris. He's got him already.
Prep. Oh,
number
already
one is
it?
Always. Number two, Hook.
Yeah. That's right. I don't know. That's so hard.
Number three, Saving Private Ryan.
So if I had to like, I don't know, man.
I know, it's
I'm going to do a, I'll do like a collective of, I guess, the ones that are really important to me and then the ones that are like, you know, kind of appeal to me later in life,
sure,
as an adult. But like, a film that, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark is on my top.
Yes.
That's a great choice.
High five.
Royal Tenenbaums was a film that I was...
fantastic choice.
I remember early in college just blown away and just felt like this could be a thing. You know, you can make movies like this. This movie called Winter Light by Ingmar Bergman. It's my favorite, one of my favorite films. He's probably my second favorite director. And then that's like his trilogy of faith. He did like this really awesome back. It's kind of like the Decalogue. His like I don't know, kind of his version of the Decalogue. And then I would say Seven is one of my favorite films of all time.
That's a good one too.
David Fincher's the man. And was that four?
That was four.
Yeah.
All
there
I
you
need.
Go, man.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
That's it.
I don't want five.
Give me your other ones.
No turning back.
Give me
no.
your.
I love Braveheart. That's that's one of my favorite movies. I love, Thin Red Line. I love that movie.
Malick, right?
Yep.
Yeah, turns
yep. I love Malick. But that's probably my favorite one of his. Which, I love, let me think here. I have it written down somewhere. There's There Will Be Blood cracked the top 10. Fargo was on there for a long time. But I don't know, kind of like goes back and forth between that and Big Lebowski.
But, yeah, those are definitely interchangeable for me.
Yeah.
I go Fargo.
Fargo's amazing.
I'd almost go Big Lebowski.
You know what? I miss the boat. Lebowski's fine. It's just not as...
Fargo.
Fargo's great, but there's something about Big Lebowski that just makes you...
Unless you're Barton Fink, and then that trumps both of them. No pun intended.
Until you watch the Hudsucker Proxy.
I know. How do you pick a Coen Brothers movie?
You don't. You just watch Raising Arizona.
But yeah.
That's so good.
I know. Most people do not pick Barton Fink.
Oh, it's a great one.
Yeah. But because they all love Lebowski.
I'll show you what The Life of a Mind is like. Oh, my God. It's terrifying.
I know. It's too much.
It's so terrifying.
It's too much.
It really turns into The Shining there for a second.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's it.
Even the wallpaper.
Those are some great questions. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the questions.
Yeah, Chris, thanks, Patrick.
Do you have any questions?
I was participating with the internet. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I do. I have a question I thought of yesterday. I took my daughter to Universal Studios in the closing minutes here. I took my daughter to Universal Studios. We were waiting for one of the shows to talk, and they started talking about the logo for Universal and how the theme was iconic. And I was like, oh, are you talking about 20th Century Fox? But anyway, I started thinking, which studio, major studio, so the biggies, your Universals, your Paramounts,
MGM,
your MGMs,
Warner Brothers,
THF,
your 28th Fox, which studio do you think has put out a greater body of work?
Now, that's,
over the year.
A greater that's body a, or just...
Like the most or the best?
Yeah.
Or the best.
And how do you measure that?
Yeah, that's what I mean. To you.
The oh, most to me.
To you. With it's all ruler. Personal.
Okay.
Yeah. Which... Mm. which well, when you watch your movies at home, what where, what studio...
What logo comes up the most?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Malpasso.
Boy, she loves that queen. She loves that queen.
I did my research
well, then you
him.
Would say then you would no, say Warner Brothers. Because
Jimmy, right? Probably.
Yeah, yeah, actually, yeah.
Then you would say.
When I see that logo, I'm
which
like,
one?
Yes. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Got to clean that screen off.
And he likes doing powerful, or like he likes following women, and I love that.
Yeah, follows Hayao girls. Mizaki, all of them have a strong woman, which is fantastic.
He follows girls and the emotions that they, just the whole thing is just great.
I say Toho. Godzilla and Kurosawa, dude. What else is it?
Toho.
Shaw Brothers for your Chinese... For all your
so the Kurosawa food. Stuff was Toho?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Godzilla yeah. and Toho yeah. and Godzilla.
And yeah, but think about it. When I was growing up, Paramount was huge because Paramount had Raiders. Paramount had all of the trilogies and then all of the Raiders of the Lost Ark trilogy. So I used to watch all of that. Like I used to love like see that logo come up and go, here comes some Raiders. But then 20th Century Fox has the Star Wars.
Yeah,
you know, if I was 13, I'd say Universal. Every you know, from 1930 to 1949, it's got to be Universal. But probably it's Warner Brothers, because yeah. all that stuff from like 35 to like 85,
yeah,
it's all the great stuff is Warner Brothers.
Yeah,
and, you know, when yeah. they do those like retrospectives, they had like three or four great decades. Some of those studios, MGM's great for like the 30s, and Paramount's good for the 40s. Warner Brothers is pretty good out the gate and then straight into the 70s. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah, you're right, because yeah. if you go back and watch the older stuff.
And they hang in there the longest.
Fox, you don't see, you see a lot, some A pictures from Fox,
yeah.
but they're really inconsistent. Paramount doesn't get to the A level till like the 50s, I think. You know, Columbia has always been really hit or miss. Columbia was bottom of the barrel for years.
Until they won like, that Oscar, they were like Poverty Row. Yeah.
yeah.
But and all these studios change hands, by the, at least by the
60s. That's what I was going to say.
And they're all conglomerates.
Oftentimes, some of my favorites are like the subsidiaries, the smaller yeah. companies that got bought up by, you know, like
Orion.
Yeah, Orion. Yeah. Amblin, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like nobody has a signature.
Studios, really, but, yeah.
It's hard to come up with a signature style. It used to be the studios had a signature style. And at this point, it's owned. They're all owned by yeah. monstrous conglomerations.
Warner Brothers always had that gritty kind of grit. They're always kind of more gritty than the other ones.
Just saying Time Warner and it covers them all.
I know. Between them and Disney, they own everything.
Yeah. Disney?
Disney owns everything now. Yeah. Anything that isn't owned by Time Warner, Warner Brothers is Disney. Yeah.
Jake, do you have a favorite to us too? What's... Universal was great in the 80s. I mean, Back to the Future.
I was going to say Universal.
All the Spielberg stuff is Universal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not all of it.
No. He's also done some stuff.
Oh, he had some Paramount stuff, too, yeah.
Paramount. Who did Saving Private Ryan? That wasn't Universal. Was it Paramount?
I don't think
But Amblin is on the Universal lot, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For some reason, I want to say... No, I don't think it was Warner Brothers.
Yeah, what was that like two studios? It was so big, it was two studios.
Yeah.
That's funny when you first start seeing that. This is so big, it took two studios.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm liking Netflix. A lot of their shows and movies.
I just watched Godless.
Was it good? I want
to
see that.
Thanks to Dan Burris. You know, great cinematography for like a for a Netflix. I was a little bummed out. It's great, and it has one of the best opening scenes I've ever seen in any show or movie.
I don't know what it is. Godless is a movie?
It's a Western. It's a show. It's only seven. Yeah, it's a miniseries. It's seven episodes, and. Jeff Daniels is the bad guy, and he plays this. Ooh. He plays a bank robber who has been betrayed by someone who was like his son, and has now vowed that he will kill anyone who harbors his fugitive, quote unquote, son. will be dealt with. And in the beginning, it's Sam Waterston is the marshal, mm-hmm. and he's riding into this town that has just that Jeff Daniels has literally killed everyone in the town.
Wow.
And
Jeff Daniels, huh?
And Jeff Daniels is great.
Wow. Guy. He's to the age now where he can play anything.
Yeah, and he's slightly yeah. unhinged and really good. And there's a lot of really great character people in it. And the ending was, here's the twist. There's a town nearby that is peopled entirely with women because all the men have been killed in a mining accident.
Jesus.
And this guy ends up, of course, hiding out in that town, and they don't know who he is. And so it's headed towards the showdown. So it's 7 episodes of them building up towards this Christ. Showdown. And it's a really slow burn, but it's beautiful cinematography.
Wow, godless.
Really, really. And it's a good Western, not afraid to take its time, and really takes its time to where it's going.
So who's doing it?
It was Netflix, and the director was, it's actually a big director.
How about that? I might have to check that out.
It's good. It was...
Black Mirror is a Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
Originally, it was BBC.
Oh,
really?
Oh.
I thought mm-hmm. it was Netflix.
It moved to Netflix in the 4th season. It was.
Yeah, they basically took it over. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Also, Saving Private Ryan was DreamWorks and Paramount.
Oh, there it is.
DreamWorks was U.S. and then international was Paramount.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
You were. It was right. Written and directed by Scott Frank is the gentleman's name.
What else?
He wrote Out of Sight.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote Logan.
No kidding.
And he wrote Minority Report.
God, those are all Ooh. Solid.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So this is like he's directing. Wow. I think it's one of his first. He's directed small things before, but this is like his first big.
Logan wow. was a great Western.
Yeah,
too.
It's really good. It's worth checking out. He wrote Get Shorty.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrote Marley and Me.
I don't want to cry.
There you go. But yeah, check it out.
It's Dog Days.
Feel like Westerns. Oh, by the way, also streaming on Netflix right now. Not on Netflix. What am I saying? Streaming on, John, you'll love this. On Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
The Prisoner.
The
original Prisoner from the 60s.
Mm-hmm. With Petra Vigouin.
If you've never watched it, you guys, I would recommend watching it. It's basically we're lost.
Is it on the list?
And all these other shows. It's not because it's 17 episodes.
Not watching.
But Edward the Longshanks.
There you go.
Patrick McGowan is the from Braveheart. He is the title
a young,
character.
Very young.
He plays. It's a basically spinoff of James Bond. It's a secret agent who resigns, and then wakes up in this weird village, this weird seaside village with crazy architecture, and he's basically a prisoner there. He doesn't know who has him there, and they all want to find out why he. Turn in his resignation. He doesn't know if he's being held by the enemy or by the British government. But every week they send a different person to try to break him.
And he can't get off this island.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
And if you thought Lost was freaky, this is the beginning of
they
that.
They did a Simpsons episode, like kind
of. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so good. I recognize the flooring right
with the
away.
Bicycle
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah. Check it out though. It's worth checking out. It's like it's on.
And some people rate that like the best TV show of all time. They'll put it ahead of Twin Peaks and all that. You know?
It's a great show, and the aesthetic is weird, super 60s.
It is,
but it's a great. It's a great. And instead of a black smoke monster, you get like a giant balloon that like
the
absorbs
Rovers.
People. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And I think they did a remake of it. I don't know who was in it.
AMC did it, but I don't.
I mean, and the only reason I wanted to see it is because I think Ian McKellen played.
Oh, is that true?
Was number two? No, he wasn't the Patrick McGowan character. He was
number two. I am not a man number. I'm a free man.
It's a great show.
Yeah, check it out.
It's a great show.
All right, guys. Chris, thank you so much, man.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
So if you want to shoot Chris, you're not on any of the social medias, are you?
Well, I have my my production company page for my last. Actually, no, I had to change it. I got dinged or something. They said I had to have my real name or whatever. Someone reported me. So it used to be Last Light Pictures as my Facebook page. Now it's Chris Graham. So you can just look that up.
Word.
And then my Instagram page is, last_light_pictures.
And if he likes you, he'll add you.
Yeah, I'll add you.
Maybe. All right.
And I think that's all I'm on.
Thanks for coming all the way from Japan just to do this show.
Hey,
and
man.
Nothing else while you're here for doing
that is the most gracious guest we've ever had.
Well, it was a first class ticket that really sold me, so thank you.
Give our love to Richard. He's here now, you said, right?
Yeah.
Richard, star of Noble Fur.
Yeah.
Is doing work in Hollywood.
He is, and in Japan.
Nice.
I met him in Tokyo when he was up there visiting, and he Yeah, I'm living where he used to live, so it's weird. But he was playing like Steve Jobs and something. So,
wow.
I went with him and read with him before his scene or his audition, and it was pretty wild.
So are we going to review Chris's movie on the show?
Yes.
Of course.
Please don't.
Once we get to the 2000s.
We're going to name the episode, Chris, This Is For You.
Yeah. He doesn't listen.
I have a question.
Yes, I do.
Oh, yeah,
if you score higher than like a 4 or 5.
You never let us ask the guest questions.
Go ahead, fire away.
That's why I went through Twitter, because you don't let us ask questions.
You have 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. Go.
Okay, what movie best describes you?
That's a great question.
Really good question.
Why don't I let people ask?
Yeah.
Because she rates Casablanca.
Well, I was going to say what movie character, but I feel like a movie has a little bit more in there. So more personality in there.
He's just plucking him from Twitter, regurgitating him. Look at that.
He's stalling that 5 minutes out.
Oh, man. That's too good of a question not to answer. I got to have to think about it. So what movie best describes me or represents me?
Yeah.
Oh, we were supposed to come back to something too.
Office Space.
I have one I strive for. Oh. Atomic Blonde. I want to be just as kick ass as her right now.
Diamonds are forever.
Tiffany Case.
For me, it's Coco.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. It's a great movie.
Well, it's not Seven. I'll give you that. I'll say that.
Oh, my God.
Bye, Chris.
Yeah.
We got to go.
It's tough. It's a hard question.
Do you have one, Jake?
No.
It's got to be a Spielberg movie.
It's a really hard.
Jake's is probably Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
You could do worse.
I could.
You could do better.
No, that's pretty good.
Who doesn't want to be Gene Kelly?
La La Land, that's right.
Oh,
Stop liking that movie.
What's wrong with it?
I don't dislike it. I just your love of it is
upsetting.
I didn't say I was in love with it. I liked it.
He's gonna be.
I really liked it.
You're gonna be La La Land for Halloween.
Yes, I'm gonna be the entire movie for Halloween.
What's the line? Your lack of faith is disturbing.
you know, movie eight, like I really resonates with me. I really love. I love the message, the mindset is, and just like the general, like, yeah, just kind of the arc of the character is a Castaway with Tom Hanks. Like, I love that, the kind of like, you know, you're kind of forced to be on an island, like a figurative one and a literal one. And you're sort of like, like hope is like such an important element of it. And how that, you know, it doesn't always work out like you think it's going to work out, but you just keep holding on and you're going to eventually, like, you're going to find that sail. You're going to find that way, you know, another road. And just the way that ends is so heartbreaking and great, but like, but also inspiring. So
yeah.
I would say that's one that I definitely, a theme that is, I tend to write a lot towards is like a sort of a forced or a willing, like, kind of isolation, like either you do it to yourself or you're forced into isolation. And then you're kind of forced to kind of like, deal with that, you know, like that's a theme that I tend to gravitate towards. So
that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Whether figurative or literal.
I could, I'll write it better on Twitter instead of just read it next week. Cut this
we
out.
Had a question that we were supposed to come back to and I can't remember it now. Was it your favorite movie? Favorite movie of all time?
No, he did top four. No,
he got
favorite
top director? Four.
We did top four.
No, we got
Spielberg,
that.
Yeah.
Some.
No.
We're good.
I don't know. Okay. There's some
Spielberg,
we're
going to find Bergman, it.
We'll find it
Wes Anderson, Fincher.
Right.
All right, guys. So for John, for Jake, for Patrick, for Justine, and all the way from Japan.
That's right.
Mr. Chris Graham. Chris Graham, we're going to sign you off with a little soundtrack to a movie called Always.
He was the first the first guest to travel thousands of miles just to be here for this show.
That's it. And we all know where to find John Sandy, your local library.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome Dan, Handsome 93 over there.
Nope, Handsome Dan 93 on Twitter, and then you can find me on twitch.tv/HandsomeDanHandsome.
No free rides, buddy.
Thank you.
And then Jake, you can find it. What's your name? Patrick, you can find it. PD Mac 77.
The other white guy.
779.
Thank you.
Should I just change it to the other white guy?
Please.
Jake, the other white meat.
Oh, God.
How disturbing.
We will see you all. Stay around. Fight the power. I forgot what else to say. This transmission ends. We'll say no.
It sure was lucky you were here.
Oh, there's a commercial.
That vase would have smashed into a billion pieces.
Nope, we're going. We're committing.
Nope, we're doing it live.
That's pretty fucked up.
Oh, it's honey in my ear hole. So good.
Chris just makes it sound so wrong.
I hate you all.